Well, welcome everybody to the Resilient Leadership Podcast, where everything we talk about is aimed at helping you to lead with a greater sense of calm, clarity, and conviction, even in anxious times. And my name is Bridget Tyer, and today, as always, I'm joined by Irvin Nugent, my friend and collaborator. And Irvin, why don't you check in and say hi to folks?
Well, hi, everyone. Hope you are doing well. Things are going good. I'm enjoying this fall weather, a little nip in the air, and we're kind of approaching that crazy time of the year of holidays, etc. And soon be waving 2025 goodbye, which is like, oh my God, where did this year go to? So I'm curious, Bridget, what are we going to talk about today?
Okay, so today's topic is, where do I go from here? Navigating a career crossroads.
Interesting.
Yeah, you know, it's a topic that will eventually touch, obviously, every one of us. And it's characterized by an inner restlessness, maybe feelings of being stagnant or stuck. And, you know, we're just kind of uncertain about the path that we're on. What is the right way to go? And I'm guessing to our listeners, if you've tuned into this, you may be at a crossroads yourself, or you may know somebody who is. I would say that during our lifetime, we are probably going to face 6 or 7 career crossroads, right? Do you think so, Irvin?
Yeah, absolutely. I think so. And it's going to grow. I mean, I think, yeah.
And, you know, if you're a leader or you're a manager, people on your team are going to face those same kind of transition points. And yet, I don't think it's a skill that we're typically explicitly taught. Yeah. Would you agree with that?
No, absolutely. We're not taught how to do this. I mean, it's and yet it is such a common experience.
Yeah. Now, in the past, I think these career crossroads were fewer and far between.
Yeah.
You know, I'm thinking of my father-in-law, and he worked at the Marriott Corporation for 30 years in the same role, general counsel, except for like a brief stint at the end where he changed companies for a few years. You know, that's kind of unusual these days, isn't it?
Yeah.
And yet, you know, it was part of, I think, an implicit contract that I'll give you loyalty and in return, you'll give me many years of stable employment, which of course is not what we see a lot today. So there's this trend now that people are just changing, not only their jobs, but just kind of going in different directions with their careers. And they're either initiating it themselves or it's happening to them.
Yeah.
But either way, it's a more common occurrence. And I'm wondering, Irvin, for you in your coaching conversations, are you noticing that as well?
You know, I am, you know, and I think this is such a great topic, Bridget. Actually, it reminds me, you know, in that wonderful book that you wrote with Heather on missing conversations, this was one of those conversations. I think it is becoming more and more prevalent. I'm always curious, you know, why is this happening? I think you touched upon the first one, which is, you know, in our parents' days, there was this unspoken contract that basically your employer will give you lifelong employment.
Mm-hmm.
And in return, I'll give you my loyalty. I remember a few years ago, I was down in Athens, Georgia, doing a training, and it was a mixed group in the room. And I got into a conversation with a woman there, and she said she worked for a bank. And I said, well, how long have you worked for the bank? And she says, I've been working for the bank for 47 years.
What?
I said, really? And she goes, in the same branch. And I said, whoa, I said, that's amazing. And I said, you are a breed apart and you will never see that again. It was just a different understanding. And now I just think, you know, with just changes in globalization, expected changes in AI, all of that, people no longer have an expectation that they're going to work in one job for their lives. People will have to adapt to many changes in the world and in their own personal circumstances. The other thing as well is, you know, we're more mobile. It used to be we stayed in the same town.
That's
true. Now we don't think, you know, moving around, moving from one part of the country to another. So all of this is adding to those instances of crossroads. And then, you know, the other thing is, I think there's an evolving kind of thought about, what do I want out of work? And it's more than just, I want a lifetime job. I think now it is, well, I want greater work-life balance, or I want to feel that I'm growing and learning new things. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that may be even more important than job security. And so therefore, you know, the reality is if people don't feel they can get their priorities, well, they're willing to look elsewhere to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I think that's what comes to mind. But, you know, I'm curious, Bridget, you as well have, you know, you work with many leaders through different career transitions. And what have you noticed about how people tend to handle their career crossroads?
You know, I'm a leadership coach, not a career coach, but in coaching leaders, inevitably, while I'm coaching them,
yeah,
a transition comes up and they start to get those feelings of restlessness, right?
Mm.
And they start going, I'm feeling a little stuck here. I'm feeling a little stagnant here. And what I've noticed is that often they will take an outside-in approach to resolving this. So when they experience that dissatisfaction, that restlessness, that uncertainty about like, am I on the right path here? One of the first things they do is go on LinkedIn or Indeed and start checking out jobs. You know, what's out there?
Yeah.
And what could I apply for? And that's what I mean by outside.
Yeah, so true.
And again, not that, you know, there's anything wrong with that per se, but what we're going to talk about today is that we recommend an inside-out approach and kind of what does that look like?
Yeah.
But another observation I would have is that people tend to fall into, my experience, and I'm curious if you'll agree with this, Irvin, but they tend to fall into two categories. There's the people who kind of jump ship precipitously, and at the first sign of anxiety or restlessness, they're looking at a job, they're sending out the resume, and they're gone, and they jump ship. But then there's the other people who tend to not leave soon enough. You know, they've got those feelings of restlessness, but they don't give space to them, and they allow inertia to carry them along until it's so painful where they are that they leave or they're asked to leave, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. That's what I've noticed. How about you?
Absolutely. And I think that anxiety is really important because at times when we're at this crossroads, there is the unknown. And I think, you know, that's a great distinction between fear and anxiety. You know, fear is a response to something that's happened, mm-hmm. where anxiety is a response to something that is either real, but imagined as well. And there's a little uncertainty around it. And that's what builds the anxiety. And of course, you know, crossroads in life are classic moments of uncertainty. Mm-hmm. You know, you just think about like when you've been in especially a career crossroads, you know, think of all the internal questions that's kind of coming up for you, you know,
yeah.
What is the right way to go? Should I go? Should I not go? Should I stay? What do I really want? What's next for me? Am I deluding myself or except so all of this churning, you can just feel that, you know, that just breeds anxiety. And of course, you know, if there's one thing we as human beings love, and we've mentioned this many, many times before and on this podcast, is that we are creatures of predictability and clarity. We want to know predictability. We want clarity. And of course, a crossroads in your career is the opposite, is anything but predictable and anything but clear. Even if you think the road is clear, when you go down it, there'll always be curveballs in there. And so the reality is that we're just not comfortable with that ambiguity. And so that's why I think you get so much anxiety around it.
Mm-hmm.
So with that in mind then, Bridget, let's get practical. Knowing that many of us are going to go through various crossroads in careers in our life, you know, what are some helpful recommendations? How might we handle this anxiety and go through this process thoughtfully and well?
Well, I'm going to share what I think are the three most important steps, okay? And they get us a long way towards that inside-out approach instead of the outside-in, right? So the first step is to face and embrace your career crossroads, right? To really face it, to lean into it. And I would just invite anybody listening right now who finds themselves at a crossroads to consider this time and place as a gift. It's kind of hard to frame it that way because the anxiety that you spoke of, Irvin, and all those questions that are circling round and round in our head. By the way, we're all working and raising families while we have all these questions, and it becomes kind of confusing and circular. And so it's hard to kind of reframe it as a gift. But that's what we suggest that you do, that it is a time to become very curious and very present to what is truly going on for you in this moment in time. Mm-hmm. What questions are you asking yourself?
Yeah.
What are you really thinking and feeling? What assumptions are you making? And give those questions room to be heard and allow yourself the space and the grace to be in this messy place of uncertainty and recognize that if you want to do it right, you can't do it quickly and thoughtlessly.
Yeah.
Right? You got to give some time to reflection and some consideration to really being able to discern what's working and what isn't working for you.
Yeah.
Because that discernment, as we're going to see, is what helps you know what path to take.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But anyway, so that's kind of tricky. So face and embrace the crossroads that you're at. And I'm just curious, Irvin, for you, can you think of a career crossroads that you experienced that generated a lot of anxiety for you? And then maybe at one point you like faced into it.
Yeah. I mean, one of the things that comes up for me is I was CEO of a nonprofit in Florida, and I was, I suppose, going through kind of some early burnout. I was just very exhausted with it. I felt I'd reached kind of a dead end, mm-hmm. and that I wanted something new. And I wasn't quite sure if I just wanted to jump into another organization.
Yeah.
And so what I was evaluating is then what eventually I did do, which is move up here to Washington, D.C. I took some time to study and then started this business. Hmm. But boy, was it rife with anxiety and this constant question. And I can just remember, oh, I'd wake up and I'd say, okay, I've decided. And then I would kind of backtrack and I said, no, like, am I deluding myself? Maybe I just need like a rest for a couple of weeks and I'll get energized. And I said, no, there's something deeper here. And so I think it was that embracing, you know, what's going on here? There's a lot of messages, and can I be honest with them and reflect? And eventually it led me to know, I really think this is the right move. This is what I need to do. But in the midst of it all, I mean, I was driving a U-Haul van up to Washington, D.C., and I could still feel the anxiety. Is this the right move? Is it not the right move? You know, but knowing that I'd put a lot of reflection into it and that, okay, at least I need to know that I'm doing this because I think this is right.
Wow, that was a big move for you.
Huge, huge move. Yeah.
Because not only did you move physically, but it sounds like you went from being, you know, in a career of employment to being in your own business.
Yes, huge.
So no wonder there was a lot of anxiety there.
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah. So Bridget, you mentioned there are three steps. That first one, you know, the facing, the embracing.
Yeah.
Talk to us a little bit about the second.
Yeah, the second one is, okay, so now you're being honest with yourself. You're being a curious observer of this anxiety and you're listening to all these questions. Okay, you're leaning in. And now is a great opportunity for you to step back and take stock.
Mm.
And to take stock specifically of what you do best and what you care about most. Mm. Because that's what really undergirds, shall we say, meaningful work.
Yeah.
And that doesn't stay stagnant. And sometimes we lose touch with it. Sometimes it just needs to come into sharper view. And so specifically what I think is really helpful to revisit with regard to that and take stock of are first your strengths, right? Secondly, your values. Mm. And then third, your purpose for work, because people have different reasons for going to work, right?
Yeah.
And that may have evolved. So I want to go back to strengths. So by strength, I do not mean just something that you do well. That is an insufficient definition of a strength.
Mm. Yeah.
A strength is a specific activity that you do well that energizes you and enlivens you. And so what are those things? And sometimes when I ask my clients that, sometimes they know and sometimes they're not so sure. So a great exercise to bring that into great clarity for you is for a couple of weeks, really notice the moments at work on a daily basis that energize and enliven you. And jot them down, like really, you know, take a, like write down and log them in and notice what's in those moments? Who are you with? What are you doing? How does it make you feel? And so forth, right? But guess what? Notice also the things that really drain you. And yeah. What is it about those things? So as you take stock of your strengths, then it's a great thing to be able to look at that and say, well, what percentage of time in this current job do I get to really play to these strengths?
Yeah.
And it's kind of interesting to know what the answer is. Like, Irvin, I want to go back to your example. There you are, the CEO of this nonprofit. You're in Florida. As you look back on that, at that point in time when you were facing that crossroads, what percentage of time do you think you were playing to your strengths and specifically to the kinds of activities that really enlivened you?
Yeah, I think I wasn't. And I think part of that then was the reason for feeling I got very tired by the tasks. The tasks were not, the day in, day out of the role I had, they just were not energizing me.
Yeah.
And then that even the deeper one, well, if I just moved to another organization, is that going to? And then it was no, actually, I think I need to be involved in some other type of work, I think. And that's really what really caused me to make the drastic change that I did.
Interesting. Yeah. And so I think, you know, in addition to the strengths, the other thing I mentioned that I think is important to take stock of are your values.
Yeah.
You know, so like, what do you really care about in life and at work?
Yeah.
That are deeply meaningful to you that you would put a stake in the ground around? Like, is it like, you know, excellence, creativity, and innovation? Or like, is it, oh, you really, really care most of all about personal growth and challenge?
Yeah. Yeah.
Or diversity and respect. I mean, you know, everybody's got their own values that are so core to what constitutes a meaningful life and meaningful work. And I think the reason we need to take stock of those at a transition or crossroads is because sometimes what can happen is we're working for an organization and their values and our values are no longer aligned.
Yeah.
And like maybe they once were, but then something happens, a new leadership comes in or it goes into a different direction. And suddenly this restlessness that we feel has to do with this disparity or this distancing between our values, right? And maybe our leadership.
Yep.
That makes sense to you?
Totally. And in fact, you know, the research, it's interesting. The research talks about when we go through that period of misalignment with our values and the work we're doing, that is one of the real contributing facts to burnout. That really that connection is no longer there. And so you're just not getting, you know, or at least your work is becoming less meaningful.
Yeah. And guess what? You can't change the values of the organization.
Yeah.
You know, they are what they are. And,
yes.
And sometimes they evolve in a different direction from
yes.
where you are. Okay. Last thing to revisit, I think, essential is your purpose for work.
Yeah.
In other words, why do you get up in the morning and go to work? I mean, we all do it for a paycheck. But beyond that, why work? For you, what kind of an impact or a contribution do you want to be making?
Yeah.
And then like, okay, so is your current role a good vehicle for expressing that purpose?
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe it once was and now it's not.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know, Irvin, do those resonate with you? And like, it is, you know, to me, those are the three essentials, your strengths, your values, your purpose. But I don't know, am I missing anything?
Maybe one other I would just add to that would be kind of, what are some of your non-negotiables?
Mm-hmm.
So like, as we evolve as well, I think we get clarity about what we're willing to compromise and what we're not willing to compromise.
Mm-hmm.
And so for some people, and we live in the DC area, so commuting is a huge issue. People talk about it all the time. You know, maybe it's salary, maybe the number of days in the office. Very interesting. You know, I have a couple of acquaintances who during COVID, they had remote work, and all of a sudden now they're being called back to the office.
Mm-hmm.
And for some of them, it's interesting. It's like a tale of two stories here. For one person in particular I'm thinking of is very strongly against that.
Yeah.
And said, I am not willing to spend 90 minutes or 2 hours in traffic every day. It's just a non-negotiable.
Yeah.
And so I would rather take a less salary to have something. And then the other person is, I don't really like the travel, but boy, I love my job. And so because it's stimulating, because I love being in the office of other people, et cetera, I'm willing to, because of that. So it's just really interesting, you know, but these are important non-negotiables. And I think they as well are really important as we go through a crossroads.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. I'm thinking like my daughter who lives in New York City. It was funny because she was talking with her siblings the other day and she goes in. Well, actually, she doesn't go in anymore. She used to go in twice a week. But now she's working remotely and the corporate headquarters, she has to get on a plane to. So anyways, her and her siblings were talking and I guess her sister said, if you got a job and they required you to come in 4 days a week and you loved the job, would you do it? And she didn't even miss a beat. She said, no way. I'm never doing that again. I'm never going into an office 4 days a week. Because for her, that's a non-negotiable.
Yeah.
But really to somebody else, it wouldn't be. But boy, she had no hesitancy whatsoever.
Love it. So Bridget, we've got the third step. What is the third step that in this kind of inside out process?
Yeah, well, now hopefully we're in a position to more easily explore options, right? And then choose a way forward. So as I was saying earlier, if you don't face and embrace and then take stock, and then you look at what's out there and you explore options, sometimes you get into a position where actually you're just repeating more of the same. Yeah. But hopefully now you're kind of ready. Like you, Irvin, were talking about that, you know, you leaned into that career transition. You thought about what was working, what wasn't working. You realized a big piece was that you were not playing to your strength.
Yeah.
Okay. So depending on what you have learned from taking stock, you know, now you can kind of consider some different options. And I think, you know, one way to look at this is from like sort of the minimal change to the major change, right? So a minimal change might be that you just do a career tune-up. Mm-hmm. I had a couple of clients I worked with recently who were feeling kind of restless, approaching burnout, wasn't really sure about the path they were on. But guess what? After they kind of stepped back and really reflected on what was working and what wasn't working, you know what they realized? It wasn't the role or the company. It was the mindset they were bringing to the job. They just had allowed the work to consume them. By the way, if they had jumped ship and gone somewhere else, you know that would happen there too.
Totally.
So anyways, they did a career tune-up and they decided that they would approach work differently. They would set and establish some different boundaries. And they would put into place some habits that were missing and see if that made a difference. And sure enough, it did. So, you know, a little tune-up sometimes can make a big, big difference at a crossroads, right?
Love that. Yeah.
But maybe, you know, you need something a little bit more than that. And maybe you need to kind of, you know, pivot slightly in a different direction. And that's always an option. Like sometimes what it is like you discern that actually I do love my role. It does play to my strengths. But I'm kind of bored with this same group of people in the same industry. And I just need a different challenge. And so you just go elsewhere, but you're doing the same work. You're in the same role. But guess what? It brings some zest and some, you know, a little bit, right?
Yeah.
And then I think, you know, I'm going to skip ahead to what you did, which is you could go off road and make a dramatic change, right? Like that's always an option if you discern that so much about where you are in your work and your life isn't working and you have a toleration for risk.
Yeah.
So maybe you pursue a dream of starting your own business or going back to school. And so I want to come back to you, Irvin, and ask about your tolerance for risk. Like, because that was a big move. Would you say you have a fairly healthy tolerance for risk taking?
Yes, I do. Yeah. I very much do. Yeah. Yeah. When you think about it, you know, I kind of came here from another country. So kind of these big moves have come, I wouldn't say easy, but I've never been deterred from not doing it because it was risky.
Yeah. And so of course we all have different levels of tolerance for risk. Yeah. And so maybe a move that is significant, but not quite that significant might be to like driving down the road, you make a hard turn, right? And you go, you know what? I'm not doing this management thing anymore. I'm going to go back to being an individual contributor. And I'm actually going to work at a different place and maybe in a different industry. And that's a pretty big change, but it's not the off-road change, right?
Yeah.
So to the folks that are listening right now that are going through your own career crossroads, you know, those are options to consider, but they really only, I think, come into view in terms of choosing once you've taken stock. If you try to choose that before, you get stuck.
Yeah.
Right? So Irvin, can you think of a client that you worked with who faced into a crossroads and maybe took a different turn than going off-road like you did, maybe took one of the other ones?
Yeah. So there was a client I remember working with, and I related to her because she was a nonprofit CEO as well, mm-hmm. of a youth organization. And, you know, she had spent 16 years in the organization. She had kind of gone through the ranks and, you know, made it to the top spot.
Hmm.
And there was just this growing sense of unease within her. She felt, you know, frustrated, or kind of frustration was coming more easily, kind of struggling with motivation. You know, I remember saying, oh, I'm just not as motivated as I used to be.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was like, well, I don't know, like, have I grown the role? What should I do next? Yeah. Is there a next? What would the next be? And I remember admiring her, you know, first of all, for the honesty that she faced the crossroads. But then, you know, what was interesting was that I think she actually naturally did one of the things we talked about, which is kind of going through a whole, you know, of strengths, looking at the strengths, looking mm-hmm. at some of the values. And, you know, she was able to say, well, you know, my strengths are relationship building. That's where I thrive. That's how I really move through this organization, the power of my ability to build relationships. And then she said the thing, and I said, you know, I remember saying to her, well, what excites you? She says, I love creating innovative programs.
Mm.
And you could just feel the energy shift when she talked about that. And then I think there was the aha, you know, she said, in my current role, she said, I spend more time with spreadsheets and crisis management than I do with innovation and relationship building.
Mm.
And it was just this, you know, it just, that heaviness of what it was. And so I think, you know, and I said, well, what would you like to do? Like, you know, what would, and she said, you know, if I was like, I would be mentoring leaders, emerging leaders, and I just wouldn't be involved solely in operations.
Mm.
And so what this eventually meant for her was, she did decide to change out of the organization, but she kind of took a lateral move, and she went to another nonprofit organization where much more of her work was actually involved in coaching frontline managers and some shaping programs. And this was a growing organization. And you could just feel, boom, that energy had come back again. And so it wasn't, you know, this dramatic shift in careers, but it was just a shift in organization that really allowed her to play to her strengths, allowed her to do the activities that really energized her.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that energy was felt everywhere around her.
Yeah, that was a pretty hard turn left, shall we say, right?
Yes.
She didn't go off road like you did.
Yes.
But she really made a pretty significant change. That's a great example.
Yeah. Yeah. How about yourself, Bridget? Can anything come to mind for you?
You know, I'm actually thinking about one of my own crossroads. And I was trying to figure out which one to share because there's been several, but mm-hmm. I'm going to share one that happened. I think it was around the time I was 40. And at that time, I was doing a lot of sort of management consulting type work, you know, team building sessions, strategy planning, facilitating large scale meetings. I was doing some leadership training at the time. But I remember this moment, and I may have shared this with you, Irvin, before, but I'm standing in one of those sessions that I facilitated a million times before, and there's flip chart papers all over the wall, right? And they're talking and, you know, they're thinking about, you know, what do they want to commit to on all these sheets of paper everywhere? And I had this moment where I thought, you know, if I come back here a year from now, I bet none of this stuff is going to be done.
Wow.
And I thought, this is not my calling exactly.
Mm.
This is not it. And here's why. Because I knew that my purpose at work was to help people fulfill more of their potential.
Wow.
And so while I was doing that a little bit in the training that I was doing and the teaching, these facilitation of meetings, maybe they moved the organization forward, maybe not, but I did not have the felt sense that individual potential was being more fully realized.
Yeah.
And it was in that moment that I went, I have got to figure this out. And lo and behold, a year later, I get introduced to coaching, and it opened up an entire new world for me and became the cornerstone of my business.
Love it.
Yeah. So, and that's really because it aligned with that puzzle piece of purpose, right?
Yeah.
So interesting. Well, Irvin, this has been a fun conversation.
Yeah, I love it. I love, you know, either our listeners could be going through presently a crossroads or certainly will. And I think those are three great steps. The first, you know, being face it with honesty, embrace it. This is an opportunity in my life that's come up. The second thing is, you know, to do a little personal accounting and take stock and, you know, what are some of those strengths and values and purpose and non-negotiables? And then having kind of evaluated that, the third step is what's my options? Where do I go from here? Plot a course that will kind of take you where you feel you need to be in this moment of your life. And, you know, I think we'll all go through those. They are moments of anxiety, but I think they're also moments of really great opportunity. And so I think, you know, if you're about to go through this, you know, maybe consider those three steps and just go from there and discern that path and know that any decision we make in our careers is not final anymore. You know, it is, there's always room for growth and always room for change and surprise yourself.
Isn't that the truth? There's not the final chapter until there's the final chapter.
Absolutely. Yes, totally.
All right. Well, it was great having the conversation with you, Irvin, as always.
Thank you so much. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. We look forward to having you with us in our next episode. Bye now.